I'd like to just have you declare, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
my eyes work.
My
ears work.
My ears work.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
That your plan is unfolding for me.
That your plan is unfolding for me.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
I'm going to take you to the thrones of the soul. And I heard loud and clear chapter 4 for the last couple of days. And this afternoon it was coming right back. So I went over it again, and I'll be giving you some of the scriptures as we go along. It's not a long message, it's a very short message, but I think it has a powerful impact on the things that we talked about, because there are things that don't make sense sometimes that are happening to us. But the Holy Spirit wants us to be fully sanctified. He wants us not to feel uncomfortable sometimes would be a mockery, because there's a lot going on in our world and in our families, in our circumstances, in our job situations. I mean, not one of us have got it easy. I'm not trying to say that, you know, it's easy street for everybody, because it's not. Family situations sometimes can be more of a challenge than anything else. So it speaks in chapter 4, partakers of his nature and the vision. So this book was written several years back, but Paul Keith has been a part of my life for a number of years when, first of all, he was invited by Pastor Jay to minister to the I Am conference, and that's where I met him. So a lot of his material I was familiar with because of his connection to other people as well, so I'm not going to go into details of that. However, I can tell you this, this man of God is an awesome man, and you can check him out on the website. It's available to anyone for free. But the scripture says in chapter 4 that 2 Peter 1:4, 2 Peter 1 verse 4. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by those promises I might become a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Notice that, you know, the Holy Spirit hasn't changed anything. There's a place of sanctification in the prophetic fulfillment of 2 Peter 1:4, making us partakers of the divine nature and escaping the corruption in the world and its lust. This reality was portrayed in the prophetic experience that has left a significant impact upon me and a hunger to see it fulfilled in our generation by the grace of God. I stress by the fact by its grace from God that does the work. It is not you and me doing a work on ourselves. Okay? So think about the reality that God is working on all of us. I don't think you're quite ready, girl. I think you're pushing it. Relax. This reality was portrayed in a prophetic experience. So a prophetic experience, meaning God has an ability to reveal to us things about us that he's planned, and it's not our logic that's going to bring it in. So during in the early part of 99, his wife and he answered a season of prayer and intercession concerning upcoming years and teachings that we were to deliver to God's people as fresh manna. While entreating the Lord in this manner, a new arena of prophetic teaching was downloaded to help us enter the place of habitation and intimacy that we passionately desire. Some of the revelation were given through prophetic experiences, which highlighted convincing portions of the scripture that are essential to this quest. The following is an allegorical experience graciously allowed to convey important principles essential for our development and training, and the soon coming spiritual release from heaven. In it, much prophetic symbolism is utilized to communicate prominent spiritual truths to help us advance to maturity, a deep place of intimacy with the Lord. Many layers of understanding can be derived from revelation in this nature, of His nature. I hope to accurately share the vision and in scriptural and historical foundation and ask the Holy Spirit to lead each reader to greater depths of understanding, unique for their specific circumstances and level of maturity. In this experience, an angel standing to my right took me into the realm of the Spirit initially. This measurelessly and far-reaching domain appeared vast and dark. In much of the same manner, we would expect empty spaces to appear. However, far above, I could see a glimmering light to which we traveled in an instant of time. So when things are happening in a dream, it gives you a little bit of an example of the realm of the Spirit. You can have a dream and situations or visions can take place and they don't make sense to your natural mind. But God is trying to talk to us from His perspective. So He says, in this place I could see easily a circle or a ring of thrones, approximately 18 in number, forming a perfect sphere. These seats of authority did not have the appearance we would normally associate with thrones established on earth. Instead, they appeared to be oval-shaped or orbs of light. I was taken to a place adjacent to the first throne and discovered that an angel of the Lord occupied it. The angel inhabited the throne with authority and dominion, standing majestically as a soldier would guard his post of duty. I was taken to the next throne, which was inhabited by an angel of the Lord like the first one. However, when I was taken to the next throne, a most disappointing and disturbing sight loomed. Instead of an angel of the Lord, the throne was occupied by a hideous creature, usurping a position rightfully belonging to the Lord. It is difficult to fashion words to describe the grotesque, perverted appearance of an evil being. It is sufficient to say that he was the opposite of everything pure or godly. Upon making this discovery, the angel standing to my right hand handed me an implement filled with water. I instinctively knew I was to begin pouring water on the creature. Living water? Got the picture? The moment I did, the evil spirit lashed out at me with his paw as a lion would strike its prey. Startled, I looked at my chest, expecting it to be torn to shreds. Instead, I was uninjured by the assault. Encouraged, I began to pour the water freely until the creature began to diminish and eventually vanish from the throne. When this occurred, the angel of the Lord emerged, taking his residence on the throne. As I contemplated the remaining thrones, I noticed that many were occupied by an angel of the Lord and many by repulsive creatures. In each case where the throne was occupied by one of these beasts, I would simply begin pouring water on the spirit until it disappeared from the throne and an angel of the Lord took its place. Now, I'm going to take a break from the book because I've had a flashback of something that happened when I was in my office at Grace Church downstairs. I had a young man that had been calling, and he asked for some help. I would say he was in his middle 20s, or maybe a little later. He was actually a product of a broken home to a degree, even though the man he thought was his dad and his mom were living together, he was the object of a lot of abuse by his father. Unbeknownst to him. So he came for help, and while we were praying, I knew there was a negative spirit that was operating and using him. And the Lord opened my physical eyes, and I did see one of those demons. And it was smoking a pipe. It was very ugly. It was maybe, you could probably say, maybe 3.5-4 feet high. Grotesque in its looks. I never forget it. I saw it with my eyes wide open. And the more we prayed, the more this thing wanted to leave, but it didn't want to leave right away. So, unbeknownst to me, while I was praying, I didn't realize I was pouring living water on it. But this is his experience. Because more and more of the Holy Spirit was coming out of me until we cast it out. And it left. Then another one showed up. And this one was different in form. Half animal, half human. Ugly, etc. Commanded it to leave. And I knew the name. I knew the name of what this thing was. Commanded it to leave. And we did it another time, so there was three that was dealt with that day. About a week and a half later, same young man asked to talk to me, so they put him through on the one of the prayer lines. And he says, "Kim, I want my demons back. I'm so lonely."
Stop it.
I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth. "I want my demons back." I said, "Well, according to your word, so shall it be."
Amen.
Okay? I did not see or hear from this young man for over 10 years. Approximately 10 or 11 years went by, and one day, I'm handed a letter. I took the letter to my office and I read it. It was several pages long, and it was from the young man. I did not recognize him, but he asked to meet with me. He told me that he learned why his father had abused him. It's because his mother had an affair after they were married, and he was not the father of the child. And hated his guts because he looked like a person that the father had brought into the house because he felt sorry for him. Mm-hmm. Got the picture? Mm-hmm. And because the father, the real father, did not love this child, he did it out of supposedly compassion, but hated every minute of it. And he realized after his father passed, because that's when he came to his father's funeral. But before the father passed away, the father and the mother admitted what had happened and why he was the object of their hatred. He had already forgiven his father. He was now married, had a happy life, and he told me he got rid of the demons again because he knew how to do it. And he was free. And now he was living in a different area and ministering to the broken. So is your plan good enough to handle that one? Or is God's plan bigger than mine and yours? the very injury that your loved ones are living in could down the road be the area of their specialty to deliver others. Are you willing for God to do what He purposed? Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. In all of those areas where we had totally submitted ourselves to the dominion and rulership of God, the angel of the Lord occupied the throne. Likewise, in each realm where we had not fully yielded ourselves, the carnal nature ruled and had authority. The unholy administration was represented by the creature that was given an opportunity to occupy the throne. He usurped a position rightfully belonging to God. Through the redemptive process and the impartation of grace, these thrones are sanctified and brought under the Lord's rulership. For complete union with Christ, each throne must be occupied by the Lord. Unfortunately, we are oftentimes allowed, and we allow the spirit of the world to inhabit the throne within our soul, placing a veil over our face that prohibits complete fellowship with God. Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The scripture reports that the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom through the sacrificial offering of the Lord's body. Therefore, if we are not seeing the Lord clearly, it is because the evil or the veils remain over our soul. It is through the water of the Word, the water, the living water of the Word, that the issue of our souls are exposed and sanctified. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Psalm 18:28. All things are open and laid bare before the eyes of the Lord or the living God. There is not a creature that exists who can conceal himself from the penetrating view of the Lord. As the scripture plainly points out, he is alive, full of power, and sharper than any two-edged sword, exposing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of a man's heart. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of my heart. So why bring this up tonight? Because we need that living water to continue its work. We need the Holy Spirit to help us so that we can complete the journey that He's given to us, so that we can be full of compassion and love and acceptance to those that are more broken than us. That's how Jesus operated. He did not judge or condemn. He found fault with no one. All He did was give them a warning. And that warning is for us as well. So if you'll close your eyes and put one hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, don't stop the healing. Don't stop the living water. Because I know your plan for my life is so much more than my skinny little brain. How much I know sometimes can put me in pride.
Sometimes you put me in pride.
Yet,
Yet.
You've got so much more for me.
Yet you said so much more for me.
Give me a hunger for your truth.
Give me a hunger for truth.
Your word is truth.
Your word is truth.
And when I declare your word,
and when I declare your
my
word,
heart gets healed.
My heart gets healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For taking every area.
For taking every area
of my soul.
Of my soul.
My mind.
My mind.
My will.
My will.
And my emotions.
And my emotions.
So that you can do.
So that you can do.
A work through me.
A work through me.
To help the broken.
To help the broken.
Like I was.
Like I was.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For healing us today.
For healing us today.
Don't stop.
Don't stop.
Keep healing us.
Keep healing us.
Until your purpose.
Until your purpose.
Yes, your ultimate purpose.
Yes, your ultimate purpose.
To make me an ambassador of love.
To make me an ambassador of love.
Not a judge.
Not a judge.
Not a critic.
Not a critic.
But a lover.
But a lover.
Of the broken.
Of the broken.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
I don't always understand.
I don't always understand.
But I'm willing to trust.
But I'm willing to trust.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. For you alone are worthy. 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 Christ the Lord. And now may his anointing be upon you as you go forth to release healing and restoration and recreation into those that you carry in your hearts. And those that you pray for before you go to sleep, that the Holy Spirit would continue their work, that the angels of our God would minister to them that are more broken than you know. I give you praise for these that you have chosen for us to carry in our hearts. Those that have the hope, Father, create a hunger for them in us to see hope come to life in them. And then the salvation of our God. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. How you doing, girl?
Hi.
Yeah. While others are working, so while others are working, so while others are working.